Okay, so in our review here, the third aspect there is the mystery kingdom during the age of grace. So there's a mystery kingdom that wasn't known in the Old Testament. They didn't know that it was going to happen, but it was a time of the church age when there's a mystery kingdom. And then the political reality on earth for 1,000 years. This is the kingdom we think of as a millennial kingdom.
Mystery during the age of grace, that's talking about the age of the church, isn't it?
Yes, right now. Okay? And any questions about these?
I just asked you one.
All right, good. Okay, who will be the mortals that will enter the millennial kingdom? Who will be the mortals?
The ones who have come through the tribulation, who survived it.
Okay.
Who turned to Christ.
Okay, the believers that survived the tribulation. All right, so they were called the sheep. The living tribulation believers. All right, and then where will Christ and Satan be during the millennium? Where will Christ be?
Yes.
Okay, he'll be here on this earth ruling, and where will Satan be?
Satan will be tied up for 1,000 years.
Okay, he's going to be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Okay, good. So that's our review there. And then, as we look tonight at the final judgment, and we're going to begin here by looking at judgments, a summary of the judgments that are coming, the future judgments. There's a lot of future judgments that are yet to come. And we're going to look at a summary of these so you can kind of piece it all together in your mind and be able to better understand these things. First of all, the judgment seat of Christ for raptured believers. All right, so that's us. All right, that's one of the first judgments that's going to take place. As we have already learned, this is a judgment of reward or loss of reward for Christians after the rapture. This has nothing to do with heaven and hell. All right? So the judgment seat of Christ is not a determination whether you go to heaven or not. It is a judgment just for the believers to deal with what we've done on earth for Christ, whether it'll be rewarded or we'll have a loss.
And we can get rewards sometimes for not... You know, you don't actually have to bring somebody to Christ and bring them right through. We can be little seeds, dropping seeds, and we can be rewarded for that.
Yeah, well, God takes all those kind of things into consideration. Okay? And then the second one is the judgment of the resurrected tribulation and Old Testament saints. Right, now, this is a little bit... There's differences of opinion on this. All right, put it that way. After the tribulation, dead tribulation believers will be raised to reign with Christ during the millennium. And that's in Revelation 20, verse 4. It talks about that. And many believe that this will be a time when the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. That we don't know for sure. Right? But this is what Walward believes, and that it may be. All right, and we do not know if this judgment, we do not know if this judgment will include reward or loss as the judgment seat of Christ. All right, so your question.
The Old Testament saints, didn't they resurrect when Jesus first came down after he had been glorified?
Some believe that. But some people did raise at that time, but that doesn't say... Yes, but they rose and were alive and lived among the people again. So they saw them alive. So whether they were actually all the Old Testament saints raised then or not, we don't know. That is a possibility, and I think that's a pretty good possibility.
Somebody was in Abraham's bosom, so Abraham must have been raised then.
How do you figure that?
Jesus was in Abraham's bosom, and Jesus told that story.
Well, Abraham was with the Lord, his spirit was. Didn't mean his body was necessarily. That's true. All right.
So, how can you see something that hasn't got a body, though?
Come on. Well, they saw Jesus. I don't know the answer to that question. All I know is at that point, when Jesus was speaking, there's nobody that I know of that believes that the Old Testament saints were resurrected by at that time. Jesus was still in his ministry at that time.
Yeah.
All right. So nobody that I've ever heard said that the Old Testament saints were raised before that. So I don't know the answer to your question. That is a good ponder. Okay. All right. Then The next judgment is the judgment of the nation of Israel, or the living Israel, living nation of Israel. And this will be at the end of the tribulation. Matthew 25 speaks of this. And God will separate and save the Jews from the unsaved Jews. All right, the saved Jews from the unsaved Jews. And the saved will enter into, as mortals into the kingdom, and the lost will go to hell. All right, so we saw that last week. All right, so it's just a review here. The next one is the judgment of the Gentile nations. So both of these, I believe, take place at the same time. Matthew 25 speaks of both of them, one right after the other. One's the judgment of the living Jews that live through it, and the other's the living Gentiles. And both of these are to determine who will enter into the kingdom as the mortals of the kingdom. All right, so saved believers that live through and survive the tribulation period will enter in. And the tribulation period is going to be a horrific time to be able to live through it, but there will be people that live through it. And they will be the ones that enter into the kingdom and begin the mortal life on earth during the millennium. The next one is the judgment of Satan and his fallen angels. All right, so this takes place in Revelation chapter 20. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in Revelation 20, so you might want to open your Bible there, and then we can follow along some of these events that are taking place here. Revelation chapter 20, and we see in verse number 10, Revelation 20 and verse number 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." All right, so it will be this. It seems that this judgment will be after the millennium, before the great white throne judgment. All right, so sandwiched in between there, after the millennium and before the great white throne. And Jude mentions it as well in Jude 1:6. Okay. And he says there, "And the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." All right, so this is a great day of judgment that's coming. And that was the day that he was speaking of there, that when they would be judged and sentenced to the lake of fire. They're not going to get out of it, but it's just a sentencing time. And then also 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. Where we read, "If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." All right, so there is a judgment coming for the rebellious angels, those who rebelled against God, and it seems like it's going to take place right here after the millennium, before the great white throne. Satan and his angels are going to be sent to the lake of fire. And God will send them there. Sorry?
It says they're going to be chained in chains of darkness.
Unto judgment.
To be reserved unto judgment.
Okay, we're talking about the judgment. Okay, so they were chained up. Some of the angels are chained up right now.
Right.
Not all of them. And that's another whole story. All right, but some of them are chained up, but not all of them, but unto the judgment day. And the judgment day is what we're talking about here in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. When Satan's cast into the lake of fire, probably the angels that are with him will be cast in there at the same time. That's an assumption, but at the same time, it makes good sense. Then we come to the great white throne judgment of all unbelievers since creation. All right, since the very beginning to the very end, all the unbelievers will be there. And notice those verses here, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." All right, now, as we look at this, it will be after the battle of Gog and Magog. We see that take place up in verse number 8 of Revelation 20. "And there shall go out and to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather themselves together to battle, and the number of whom is the sand of the sea, and they shall, and they went up, and the breath of the earth encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. All right, so that's the battle of Gog and Magog. That is the final battle of rebellion against God. All of the rebels from the millennial kingdom rearing up with Satan against God. God wipes them out, and immediately then Satan and his angels are sent to the lake of fire as well. So that'll be a final judgment for them. And then this is a sentencing time for all the unbelievers. Notice there in verse 11, he saw the small and great stand before God. All right, so there's, and we're going to go into detail. So I'll just give you a summary here. So I'll get ahead of myself if I aren't careful here. All right, so then we're in the final rebellion. Satan has been bound in the bottomless pit during a thousand-year kingdom. Now, what I did is the first ones were just summaries. Now we're going to talk about the actual final judgment here. Satan, and we back up in verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 20, is where the millennium takes place. And I saw the angel, saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I underlined in my Bible the word deceive. Deceive. You know, that shows us once again that's his active role right now, is deceiving people. He's actively striving to deceive you and me. And so he's a deceiver, and he's going to be then bound up for 1,000 years, so that during the millennial kingdom, Satan will not be able to deceive anymore. So all the deception that he is doing right now will no longer take place during the millennial time. It'll be a wonderful time. And that God will cast him there in that millennial, that prison for a millennium. During the dispensation of the kingdom, all mortals who enter the kingdom are believers, yet the offspring are born are lost, but and must believe on Christ to be saved. Once again, God will prove that man is depraved and cannot save himself from his sinful nature. All right, so during that whole millennial time, thousands, maybe millions of people will be born during that millennium. And as they are, they're going to be born sinners. And they're going to have to trust Christ. Even though Christ is on the throne of the earth, they will be able to see him. They'll be able to speak with him. And yet, there will be many deep down in their hearts that say, I do not want him to be my king. And they will rebel against him. And so, that's why at the end of the millennium, when there's this great rebellion, and so there will be many that will have to make that choice to trust Christ. People on the earth will have multiplied greatly during the millennium, since people live longer and bear children longer. All right, so the scriptures you read over in Isaiah and other places in the Old Testament, it talks about the long, long lifespan of the people during the millennial period. It says that if a child, a person dies at 100, they cry over the child that has died. And so, you know, they're expecting a very, very long lifespan. Some of the people very well may live through the entire millennial period. And they're having children. Just like back in the olden days, you know, you look at the accounts there in Genesis, and they lived for 950, 970 years. Yes, sir?
So during this time, 1,000 years, there will be a time where there will be a Christ kingdom. So these people will have, like, they'll be well educated about the things of the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think that knowing the end, they still go and rebel against God.
Yeah.
Almost insane, isn't it?
But see, each one of the dispensations, that's what's really neat about studying dispensations, because each dispensation, God gives us more information and more information. And right now, during the age of grace, we have got tons of information. I mean, we've got the Bible. We know that Christ died and rose again, paid the debt for us. I mean, we've got, there's no excuse. The only thing that we have, but one of the major things that we don't have right now that they'll have in the millennium is the devil won't be there. And so we've got the devil still deceiving us and tricking us and tripping us up and deceiving people in the world as well. But during the millennium, it's going to be a utopia. I mean, it's going to be back where in the Garden of Eden type of a situation. There's the animals are going to be friendly, and people are going to multiply like rabbits, and the place is going to be full of people, and they're going to have big families, and it's going to be peace and joyful, and yet they're still going to be rebels. John Ray.
It's quite a testament to just how sinful the devil is, because the fact that even during the millennial kingdom, people can literally see Jesus with their own eyes. And still rebel. I mean, right now, people only have to believe in faith. I mean, we can't give anybody a picture of Jesus.
Yeah.
People have to believe it.
I know.
But even during that time, when they can see it and interact with that kingdom,
yeah,
it's interesting that they can still get to see it. It's almost astounding.
Yeah, it's really, when you look at the whole picture, it's awesome to think that God would actually, in each one of these stages of the dispensations, he keeps opening up more information, and now, finally, in the millennial kingdom, he just puts it right back like the Garden of Eden again, and the only difference is that in the Garden of Eden, originally, men were sinless and hadn't sinned. All right? So during the millennial kingdom, they'll start out with Christians, but they still have the same ability to sin like we do, but they won't have the devil deceiving them. And so God is doing great things here, and it's going to be a wonderful time, but Satan won't be able to deceive them, and he will be locked up during that time, the entire time during the millennium. And he will gather, then at the end, he will gather all the rebels together to fight against Christ. So God says, all right, I'm going to let him loose just for a short time, just to show you what man's hearts are like. Now, God the whole time knows that there's all these rebels out there that have not trusted him. And yet, on the outside, they look nice. On the outside, they got to watch what they do and say, because they'll get themselves in major trouble, because Christ is reigning with an iron fist. And so he's rigid in his ruling. So here, the devil's going to rally them together. Their number will be as the sand of the sea. This huge army will circle around Jerusalem in preparation for the battle in Christ, with Christ and his saints. And we saw that here in verse number 7 and 8. Let's just start. I'll keep reading in verse number 5. And the rest of the let's back up and read 4. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had they received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, and the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Just unbelievable. Yes, ma'am.
When there's 144,000...
No, that's during the tribulation period.
Yes.
So,
they come in.
The 144,000 will be the Jewish nations, people of the Jewish nation during the tribulation period that will be witnessing and testifying. But this is speaking of afterwards.
No, that's not Gog
and Magog. Gog and Magog are, there's actually two different references to Gog and Magog, and they're not both talking about the same thing, and it's deep into in prophecy and stuff like that. So some of it may have a little bit to do with the tribulation period as well. Okay, but this is the final judgment of Gog and Magog. Okay, any other questions? All right. So as we move on here, then the threat is short-lived. Christ simply calls down fire from heaven, and every one of them is wiped out. We saw that in verse 9, and God will then send the devil to the lake of fire and brimstone. Verse number 10, glorious verse in our Bible. We need to highlight this. And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now that's going to be a grand day. Our enemy, our arch enemy, is going to be gone forever. He's going to be finished. We will not ever see him again. He will be dealt with permanently. And that'll be a glorious day. Now, an important thing I want you to see right here when we're on verse 10. Flip back in your Bibles to chapter 19, and look at verse number 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against them that sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast shall be taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. All right, so this is the first people that we are told are actually sent to the lake of fire. Many people have gone to hell, but this is the first ones that I know of that are actually said to have gone to the lake of fire. Now, when was that? When was the beast and the false prophet stuck in the lake of fire? When?
Before Satan was thrown in.
No. After something, but not after the millennium.
After the
rapture. After Armageddon, after the tribulation.
All right.
So at the end of the tribulation, the beast and the false prophet are in there. Now that's important. When you think about that, because of verse number 10, I'm going to read verse number 10 of 20 again, and you tell me why that verse 19, in chapter 19 was important. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Why is that, those two verses, important to be linked?
Because that one says that the beast and the prophet are already there. They're not to come there, but they're already there.
They're still there.
And they're still there.
That's right. That's significant because it refutes a false teaching. What false teaching does that refute? Yes, but there's a word for it I'm looking for. Oh. Mel.
Annihilation.
Annihilation. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that in a moment. Annihilation is believed by the, I think it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, I think the Mormons do as well, and I think I know the SDAs do. They believe in annihilation. That means when God sends a person to the lake of fire, it's like when you spit into a fire. Psst, gone. And that's what they believe. That's what annihilation is. They'll be there. They'll be burned up in a split second. They're gone.
Well,
and they're done. And they cease to exist.
The fact that it says forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
But that's why I'm bringing this up, because the beast and the false prophet were still there a thousand years later.
Yeah.
The whole millennium had taken place. A thousand years later, the beast and the false prophet were still there, and Satan's cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so that's a significant truth that we need to make sure we don't miss. Now, I mentioned this here. All right, so they've been there, and God cast them in a thousand years earlier into the before the millennium. All right, John Ray.
I was going to say, what they oftentimes do is they take some of the stuff Solomon said a bit out of context. Because there are some times when Solomon is being a bit poetic. I think there's a few times where he actually said that the dead go down, they die, they know nothing in the afterlife. You know? So they say, like, see, like Solomon said, that once you're dead, you're dead.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they take certain things in the Old Testament out of context.
Well, I understand that, and it's true that our body, what Solomon was saying is, now is when you got a voice in a human body, you're able to praise God, you're able to rejoice, you're able to have a good time, but once you're dead, that's done. Yeah. All right? And it is true. That's done. That aspect of the mortality is done. All right? But it doesn't say anything about their soul. It talks just about their human body and what they're able to do and what they're able to experience.
I mean, that's how they get people.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to answer that and put it into context. So you're absolutely right about that, John Ray. That is very true. All right, now, this terrible lake is literal place of torment and night, day and night for all eternity. Rebellion against God and His love is no small matter. You know, some people look at it and say, what kind of God? I mean, I've had Jehovah's Witnesses tell me this. What kind of God would send a person to a lake of fire forever and ever? That's cruel. That is inhumane. He doesn't, but he does sentence them there because of what they chose to do and what they rebelled against. But the truth of the matter is that God, you know, a person that says that does not understand God. And a lot of the things in the Bible that we struggle with is because we don't have a accurate understanding of God. I talked about that on Sunday, and I'll keep talking about it. That's so very true. We need to know God. It's desperate that we do. And I got to keep moving here, or I'm going to run out of time again. It's already been too much time. All right. So John saw the great white throne, and I just read those verses a few moments ago, and the God Almighty, or Jesus, sat on the throne. At that time, the earth and heaven will flee away. All right, so the atmospheric heaven and earth, probably the stars as well, are going to just be gone. And they will burn up and be gone. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, be gone.
But they
make all kinds of excuses, and they say, well, that's just figurative. That doesn't really mean that. It's story.
Is this when we get the new heaven?
After this. This is when the old ones that we're on presently now will be destroyed. And then in chapter 21, he's going to create new heavens. So that's the very next chapter.
Destroyed?
It's the earth in the atmosphere. So all that we know of right now are probably, I mean, certainly our earth, that's what he says, the earth in the heavens, which are the atmospheric heavens around the earth, and very likely the universe that we know of all the stars, but I can't prove that for positive, will melt down and be destroyed, and God's going to just start over. And in chapter 21, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth.
So is that like people like us who went with the rapture, do we live there?
We'll be with the Lord. We'll be with the Lord. And so when he creates the new heaven and earth, it'll be for us. So the new heaven and the new earth will be for us. And he's bringing heaven down. We're going to talk about that next week. He'll be bringing heaven down.
It's not even going to have any sea.
Yep. So it'll be different. All right. Then the second resurrection will take place of all unbelievers. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6, says this, that it won't be just the believers that resurrected, but unbelievers as well. All right? So verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, and such as second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And verse 7, and when 1,000 years is expired, then Satan will be loosed. Okay? So there's going to be a resurrection. Everybody that's ever lived is going to have an immortal body to live eternally. But those with Christ, our immortal body, will be able to be with him and rejoice and with him. Those that have rejected him will live eternally in the punishment that they have chosen by rejecting Christ. Okay? And I know some people look at this and say, well, that just doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. Well, I don't set the rules. God did. And God said that's the way it's going to be. So, both small and great, the nobodies and the celebrities, the poor and the rich will be present. No one will be given special treatment. No one will be absent. Everybody will be there. Now, where will we be at this time when the judgment takes place? We'll probably be in the grandstands of heaven watching it all. Alright? But God will be dealing with the unbelievers. All the unbelievers from Cain all the way to the end. All the unbelievers will be there before God on that day.
You think we'll be actually there watching that? Watching our loved ones that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior.
In the next chapter, he says that he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes.
That won't be very nice for us.
Maybe we won't. You can ask him to be excused. I don't know. It doesn't say for sure, so I don't know. John Ray?
I can't remember where I heard this, but a long time ago I heard somebody, well, I don't know who it was, they were mentioning that they were saying that it would be likely that the Christians who are present there, some of them would be there as witnesses to say that, you know, if God said, well, you rejected it, they'd be there as witnesses to say, like, God would say, like, these guys here at one point told you. Now, I don't know where the Bible says that, but I can see something like that actually.
That's probably somebody's ideas, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of things here that God doesn't tell us. And one thing that will help us, Inika, is that we will have perfect minds then and perfect hearts and perfect understandings. And we'll be able to perfectly understand God's judgment, even though it will break our hearts to see those that we love rejected. Okay? But God certainly knows all about that, and he's certainly going to take all that into consideration.
When these people come up and say that blah, 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 you know, annihilation and everything, and I don't think that that's fair from God to do that, they should read Proverbs 20, verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
We're not even going to put the stand off.
No.
Or leave the stand off.
All right, so all the dead at sea, and all the others will be present as well. Verse 13, we read that, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. All right, so everybody's going to be present. Some people say, well, they threw him overboard at sea and the fish ate him, and, you know, now he's, you know, he's disintegrated. Well, that God knows exactly where every molecule is, and God is able to put it all back together. And so death or the dead bodies and hell, those that are their souls. All right, so death is talking about the bodies. Their soul is in hell, will be delivered up of every unbeliever to be sentenced. Okay? And then God will open the books to judge them. The judgment is not to decide if they go to heaven or hell. That has been determined by their rejection of Christ, but it determines their severity of sentence. And Luke indicates that there will be degrees of sentence. Those that know more are going to be held more accountable, and those that know very little are going to be held less accountable. But all men are guilty, and if we all got what we deserved, there's not a single human being that's ever lived that deserves to go to heaven.
The people that get judged, and you say that some will be judged harsher than others. So, where do the ones that aren't too bad go, and the ones that are really bad, where do they go?
It all, you know, that's a question that we aren't. There, all right. So, as far as where is the lake of fire? Period. All right. Now, somehow, some way, God has a way of making it worse for some than others. How? He doesn't tell us. Okay? But all unbelievers will be separated from God and spend eternity in the lake of fire. But God will determine. I mean, like, there's some people that have just been, you know, blatantly anti-God, even though they knew so much about God. You know, God's going to deal with them accordingly. All right, the books, more than one, says their books will be opened. Probably one of them will be the Bible, and then probably the other one will be a book of God's records of what man has done. So people says, you know, they want to say, well, you never gave me a chance. God say, hang on now. What about this, and what about this, and what about this? He had perfect records of everything that took place in everybody's lives. No one will be able to argue with God. And so he's got all the records. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life, where God's got recorded the names of all who have put their faith in Christ. And every person will be judged by their works to determine the severity of their sentence. All right. And then death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Pentecost states the first death was the spiritual death, which they suffered in Adam. The second death is the confirmation of and making eternal that separation from God, which the first death entailed. All right, that's kind of a tongue-twisting sentence, and I checked the reference again to make sure I didn't type it wrong, but I didn't, so it's a little bit confusing. All of those whose names are not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's what we said in verse 15. And this is a literal place of torment, everlasting fire, unquenchable fire, the fire and brimstone, blackness and darkness, smoke and torment, no rest day nor night forever and ever. And you can look up those. You can look up those references. Yes.
I just looked up the Holy Spirit's Bible just real quick, and they kept that verse in there about being tormented day and night forever and ever.
So does it say it like that?
The devil who was misleading them was hurled into the lake of fire and sulfur, where both the wild beast and the false prophet already were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Yeah, well, sometimes they contradict themselves. Yes, sir.
For God, there's no time, but as we look at it now, you know, if it does take 3 minutes for the person to judge him, you know, like, if it does think how long it will take,
yeah,
will be for years and years.
Well, the thing of it is, God is eternal, and God can judge every single person simultaneously, all at the same time. And so he's got no complication there, doing every single person, every human, billions and billions of them, all at the very same time. So, yeah, it does look overwhelming, humanly speaking, but God is not human. So, makes a big difference. All right, just some questions here as we finish up. List 6 judgments here. And they're kind of a complicated, so I brought them up for us. Judgment seat of Christ, the tribulation and Old Testament judgment, the living nations, both of the Jews and of the Gentiles, Satan, and then the great white throne. All right, those judgments. And what will Satan do when he is released from the pit?
He'll try to deceive us again.
He'll deceive all the nations, and multitudes will follow him, rebel against God. Okay, how will God quash Satan's rebellion? That last rebellion, Gog and Magog, how is he going to stop it? Yes, that's right, Ruth. Fire from heaven. That's the end of it. Okay? And who will stand alive, who will still be alive and suffering in the lake of fire when Satan enters?
The beast and the prophet.
Okay, the beast and the false prophet. Very good. Okay, and then one last question. We've already kind of chewed on it some, so I won't spend much time here. But how can we be sure that the lake of fire is not annihilation, but is literal eternal torment of fire?
Because the beast and the lion and the false prophet have been in there for 1,000 years and they're still there.
Yeah, that's one good reason. All right. And then if you're interested, you need to download the notes, or I can give you some references here. I'll just read off the references for you. Matthew 25:41 is probably a good one. And then also Matthew 25:46 is probably a key one. It says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So he calls it their everlasting punishment. Matthew 25:46. Mark 3:29 also speaks of eternal damnation. And Revelation 14:11. It says that the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Revelation 20:10, our key verse there that we just looked at. Jude 1:7 is another one that even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities that were about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after the strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering vengeance of eternal fire. All right, so there's lots of verses that speak of the eternal aspect of the fire and judgment. Any questions?
How can they just say, well, that's not true?
Because it's not logical. And their religion is logical. And that's why they believe what they do. Their religion is a logical religion. But it's not biblical.